Welcome to day 186 of the story that changes everything. Our readings for today are Isaiah chapters 10 through 12 and Psalm 78 verses 40 through 72. Here's some thoughts to guide your reading for today. Our psalm for today is the last half of Psalm 78, beginning at verse 40. This amazing psalm continues to recount the Old Testament history of God with Israel and Judah. The latter half of the psalm primarily focuses on Israel's disobedience and idolatry. A key verse, especially in light of our readings from Isaiah for today, is verse 61. God let his power be held captive, let his glory go to the enemy's hand. Our texts from Isaiah today wrestle with the way God used Assyria as a tool of judgment and punishment upon Israel. But also, like our Isaiah text, the psalmist can't leave the story in the place of crisis, but must move to the place of renewal and hope. "Then my Lord woke up," cries the psalmist, "and a renewal of Jerusalem and Judah was the consequence. God allowed a time of suffering to come, but in the end, God kept his promises to David." The opening verses of Isaiah chapter 10 complete the oracle of judgment that begin at the beginning of chapter 9. Those who have power and misuse it or create systems that oppress others will not stand before God's judgment. Interestingly, in verse 5, the text proclaiming judgment upon Israel turns to Assyria. Verses 5 through 7 are words from God about how Assyria had been used by God as a tool to bring judgment. But in verses 8 through 11, the prophet places boasting words in the mouth of the Assyrian leaders. Assyria brags about all the destruction it has brought to nation after nation, and it will bring that destruction to Jerusalem as well. However, at verse 12, the voice of the prophet intervenes. Assyria has exceeded what God intended. It has transcended the literal boundaries God had placed upon it. In poetic language, the prophet accuses Assyria of acting like a fox in a henhouse, taking through treachery what did not belong to it. The key verse is verse 15. Will the axe glorify itself over the one who chops with it, or will the saw magnify itself over its user? Assyria, meant to be a tool in God's hand, has tried to take its own autonomy against God's purposes, and therefore judgment, like fire, will be the consequence. Words of hope in Isaiah often begin with a phrase like the words that open verse 20. On that day, in this case, the hope of that coming day of restoration is that Israel will no longer be dependent upon other forces for their life, but they will be dependent upon God. And on that day, God will remove the burden from their shoulder and destroy the yoke on their neck. But before that redemption happens, the Assyrians will invade. And that process is intricately mapped out in verses 25 through 34. They will go from nation to nation and finally stand at the gates of Jerusalem. The end of chapter 10 leaves the reader in terror at the devastation brought about by the axe of Assyria in the hand of God. But then comes the indescribable hope of chapter 11. Judah and Jerusalem may end up being a stump as a consequence of the axe being swung by the empire. But from that stump, a shoot will grow up. Death and exile will not have the last word. The hope of the text is a kingly presence will come from the line of David. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, and he will restore justice in the world. The prophetic poet imagines a coming time under good governance when all relationships of hostility and threat shall be overcome, and like the lion and the lamb laying down together, peace will reign. This vision is clearly beyond the imagination of the current created order. The coming king will do what the world has long considered impossible. Verses 10 and 11 return to the phrase, "on that day." On that day, what God does through Israel or Judah will be a blessing to all the nations. And on that day, all of those vulnerable exiles and refugees will return home. The last verses of the chapter expect a day when the strife that has divided God's people internally will also be healed. May it be so. Chapter 12 brings this section to a close with a brief hymn of praise. Notice that two more times the phrase "on that day" is used. The book of Isaiah repeatedly looks back to the former times as a time of judgment, but on that day that is to come, that time will bring redemption and comfort. And on that day, the people who groan now will shout and sing for joy to the Lord. Like much of Isaiah, the beautiful word pictures of Isaiah 11 get caught up in messianic hopes and expectations, and for Christians become some of the theological language that shapes how we understand the person and work of Jesus. We certainly need to understand these hopes in their original context, but These hopes also become for us the pictures of what new creation looks like in the light of the resurrected Christ. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, death never gets the last word, life does. And because the resurrection power of Christ is at work in the world, what was considered impossible is now possible. We carry on tomorrow through these beautiful visions of Isaiah. We're reading chapters 13 through 15. I'll talk to you tomorrow.